Bibles, turn with me please to our text this morning, Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, as we continue in our series Back to the Basics. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, Paul writes, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Becoming a Christian and becoming a pastor has made my life tremendously harder, especially with all the people. Sue and I still pray every day, God, can't we pastor without the people? I got saved July 21st, 1984, when I was crucified with Christ back in 33 AD on a hill called Calvary outside of Jerusalem when Jesus took my sins away. That's salvation. Salvation based on something that happened in the past, something real. Too many Americans today are still so scared to death of COVID. They're still getting COVID vaccines, even though other countries have already outlawed them because of the bad things that those vaccines are doing to people. Doctors are now diagnosing people with a condition called long vax, not long COVID, long vax because of the bad side effects from the COVID vaccines that don't go away. Chronic pain, chronic fatigue, high blood pressure, myocarditis, heart attack, brain fog, confusion, depression. I could go on and on. All kinds of people are still dying suddenly and dropping like flies all over the world. 2 weeks ago, 10-year-old Kelsey Warner, 10-year-old daughter of Johnson & Johnson vaccine executive Mike Warner, died of brain seizures after getting another vaccine. A week ago last Friday, 51-year-old Elise Finch, weather lady on Channel 2 News in New York City and a huge pro-vaxxer, died of a heart attack after getting another vaccine. I could go on and on and on. And I hate to tell you this, folks, but every COVIDian from Bill Gates to Dr. Fauci is telling you there's another COVID virus coming. And this one is supposed to have a kill rate of 80%. 8 out of 10. So here's the question. You going to fall for the fear porn and get another vaccine? Or are you going to trust God? Because do we understand? Do we understand what happens when we try to save ourselves instead of trusting the Lord? John F. Kennedy Jr. was American royalty. The only son of President John F. Kennedy, modeled for GQ magazine, was editor of George magazine, married to a supermodel wife named Carolyn, and was probably going to be president someday with all the star power. But because JFK Jr. was so full of himself, he thought he could do anything, including flying really fast airplanes that were beyond his control. So he bought a Piper Saratoga and took some flying lessons. But because he was never instrument trained, in other words, he was never trained or learned how to fly just according to his altitude, his altimeter, and his heading, he was VFR. He flew according to visual flight rules, which meant as long as he was flying in the daytime and he could see landmarks along the East Coast, or if he was flying at night and could still see the lights of New York City in the distance, he could halfway figure out where he was going. But then July 16th, 1999, 24 years ago last Sunday, JFK Jr., his wife Carolyn, and her sister Lauren Bassett took off at 8:53 p.m. from Essex County Airport, Newark, New Jersey, for Martha's Vineyard for a wedding the next day, a place that JFK Jr. had flown to 12 times before, but always only in the daytime. Left at 8:53 p.m. They wanted to leave a lot sooner, but all kinds of delays caused them to take off right when it was getting dark. And it was not only dark, it was really foggy and really hazy. And in the dusk and the fog, he couldn't tell where the ocean stopped and the sky started. And if he had just followed what his instruments were telling him to do, he would have been just fine. But experts say when you're flying with no visible lights around, there's this inner ear condition called spatial disorientation that sets in. The number one cause of all airplane crashes in the world, where you lose all sense of the direction, speed, or motion of the plane, whether it's turning, banking, going up or down, and you stop trusting what your instruments are telling you, and you start trusting what your messed up senses are telling you. And at that point, experts say you have on average 18 seconds to live, because that's all about how much time it takes for you to fly that plane into the ground or into the water. So 9:40 p.m., July 16, 1999, JFK failed to fly according to his instruments that were telling him to correct because he was on a crash course with the ocean. So 9:41 p.m., JFK Jr. and his two passengers were instantly killed when the Piper Saratoga hit the water nose first at 183 miles an hour, just 7 miles off the coast of Martha's Vineyard. NTSB officials found no mechanical or navigational problems with the plane. Official cause of the crash, pilot error due to spatial disorientation. And this is probably what it looked like. Sadly enough, that's exactly the same thing that happens with way too many people when it comes to salvation in Jesus Christ. There's people sitting in this church right now, listen to this sermon. You've got spiritual disorientation because you don't know where you are. You don't know where you're going. You don't know how fast you're going. You don't know if you're up or down spiritually. And the devil and the world and your friends and your own brain, your own sinful nature is telling you to blow off your instrument, the Bible, and your flight instructor, Jesus Christ. But listen to me. If you believe the lies, if you try to save yourself, you're going to crash and burn too. Amen. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. There is a way that seems right to a man. In the end, it leads to death. You've got to trust your instrument. So today, right here, right now, you turn from your sin and you turn to Jesus Christ and start flying right. Because yes, sin is real, but salvation through the cross of Jesus Christ is real too. Absolutely everything that's necessary for you to be saved was already accomplished 2,000 years ago by Jesus Christ at the cross. And the only thing you have to do now, right now, is receive it by faith. Because Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3, how will you escape? How will you escape if you ignore so great a salvation? And the answer is, you won't. The first reason why salvation is real is because it's based on something that happened in the past. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second reason why salvation is real. Not only because it's based on something that happened in the past, but also because it's proved by something that happens in the present. Verse 20. We've been crucified with Christ and we no longer live, but Christ lives in us. Even more proof of your salvation, not people seeing you, but people seeing Jesus in you. Which means salvation is supposed to change us and make us more and more like Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old goes and the new comes. Kirby Meyer from here at Fox River died last May the 26th. Kirby Meyer drank most of his entire life. Kirby got saved in 2012. When Kirby got saved, he stopped drinking because Jesus started living in his heart and Jesus doesn't drink at all. So salvation doesn't just mean you humble yourself so Jesus can save you. Salvation also means you die to yourself so Jesus can live in you. So other people can see Jesus in you and be drawn to him because of it. Salvation doesn't just mean you're going to go up in heaven with Jesus someday. Salvation means you give up everything so Jesus can live in you every day, right here and now. It's not what you want, it's what He wants. Not I, but Christ. You die, Jesus lives. Savvy? Amen. But how many Christians today don't have a clue that that's all a part of the deal? There's Christians listening to the sermon right now talking about salvation. You don't even know if you're really saved. You're not sure about your salvation at all. You say, well, Kevin, I don't feel saved. So what? Sometimes you feel like a nut, sometimes you don't. Salvation is not something that you feel. Because salvation is not a feeling, it's a fact. Amen. So it's not something that you feel, it's just something that you believe and know. Christ died for your sins according to the Scriptures. Period. Well, Kevin, I don't know if I was serious enough when I prayed to receive Christ. You were serious enough. If you meant it, He meant it. Amen. But Kevin, I got sin in my life right now. Who doesn't? Next slide. Every single one of us Christians is just like every single one of us Christians is just like that sheep that you see there in the video. single one of us Christians just like that stupid sheep that keeps falling in the same stupid ditch over and over and over again. All we like sheep go astray. But listen to me. Sin in your life does not mean you're not saved. Sue and I fight and we argue, we sin against each other. We don't get a divorce. The marriage relationship is still there. What the sin breaks is the fellowship in that relationship. Same thing with God. Sin does not break your fellowship with God. When His little boys sinned against them, Him growing up, He didn't throw them away. Your Heavenly Father isn't going to throw you away either. It doesn't break the relationship with Jesus Christ. It breaks your fellowship with Jesus Christ. And what do we do about that? 1 John chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. If you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You sin against Jesus Christ, you're down there on the floor. What does Jesus do? He doesn't do this. He does this. Come on. Get up. Amen. Repent of that sin. And I will forgive you. And then let's get going. I got a plan for your life. Let's keep going. Amen. Salvation doesn't mean that you're perfect and that you never sin. Salvation means that you're forgiven whenever you do sin. Christianity is not about being perfect and following a bunch of rules. Christianity means you are forgiven and that you follow Christ. Having a porn problem doesn't mean you're not saved by Jesus. But listen to me. It does mean you need to be delivered by Jesus. Because porn kills your soul. And if you don't hurry up and get that deliverance, that porn is going to make your heart so hard, you'll be deaf and totally deaf, dumb, and blind to the Spirit hears Holy Spirit conviction. Amen. See the sign there? Jesus saying, I saw that, looking around the corner. That's not Jesus. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good. That's not Jesus, that's Santa Claus. Jesus is not Elf on the Shelf. He is Jesus living in your heart. Amen. Helping you to overcome the temptation and forgiving you if you cave to it. No matter what that sin is. And how important it is to us, for us Christians, to know that and to hang on to that. Walker Montgomery, 15 years old. Starkville, Mississippi. All-state football player his sophomore year. Loved to go hunting with his dad. Born-again Christian. Leader of the youth group at his church. Last November the 30th at midnight, his phone pings. It's a cute 16-year-old girl who said she knew all of his friends. They started talking with each other. After about an hour, they started flirting with each other. Half hour later, it got sexual. By 2 a.m., that girl had convinced him to masturbate in front of his computer, take a video of it, and then send that video to her. And the nanosecond that Walker Montgomery hit that send button, all of a sudden three men appeared on that phone because it was a scam. And they told Walker Montgomery if he didn't send them $1,000, they were going to send that video to his parents, all of his friends at school, and all of his friends at church. Walker Montgomery didn't have $1,000. And that kid begged those three men for an hour not to send that video. And when they wouldn't budge, Walker Montgomery killed himself and committed suicide. This is part of the suicide note he left for his parents. I'm sorry, Mom and Dad, but what I did was so stupid and bad. There's no way that God could ever forgive me. There's no way I could ever recover from this. There is no way I could even be a Christian to start with. I am really sorry. No. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 34, God says, I will forgive you and I will remember your sin no more. Listen to me. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you've done. I don't care how bad it is. I don't care how humiliating it may be for you. There is nothing, absolutely nothing that you could ever do that God will not forgive you for or help you recover from if you just turn it over to Him. Amen. Proof of salvation is Jesus living and working in your life, even when you sin. Amen. Let me ask you this morning. People see Jesus in you? Are people seeing Jesus in your life? Last March the 28th, a 94-year-old man named Franz Moore passed away. Franz Moore was the number one piano tuner for Steinway for over 30 years. So then all the top concert pianists in the world, all the top piano performers in the world, not only wanted Franz Moore to tune their pianos, but to go on tour with them. So that he could keep their pianos tuned and keep them sounding good. All the big heavyweights, Grigori Sokolov, Van Cliburn, Liberace, Stevie Wonder, Ray Charles, Billy Joel, Elton John. I could go on and on and on. But see, every one of those clients Franz Moore didn't just hang out with him and hobnob with him and constantly ask him for autographs. He gave every single one of them a Bible and told every single one of them about Jesus Christ. Christians, can people see Jesus in your life like that? Can I ask you something this morning, in all honesty, sitting in the house of God, do you even have a daily relationship with Jesus Christ? Are you spending any time at all worshiping Him every day? Any time at all in His Word? Are you praying to Him and spending time in prayer? A praying man stops sinning. A sinning man stops praying. Jesus died for the world. We're supposed to die to the world. Jesus died for sin. We're supposed to die to sin. Are we doing that? Pop singer Taylor Swift claims to be a Christian. This is what she said at her Eros concert in Chicago last June the 2nd to celebrate Pride Month.
Being with you during Pride Month, getting to sing the words to You Need to Calm Down, where there are lyrics like, can you just not step on his gown? Or shade never made anybody less gay. And you guys are screaming those lyrics.
Here's Taylor Swift sharing words of support in honor of Pride Month tonight.
Now, either Taylor Swift doesn't know what Jesus says in the Bible about LGBTQ, or she doesn't care. 3 out of 4 Christian couples today, Christians, 75% shack up and have sex with each other before they get married. Right. You say, Kevin, we're just cohabitating. No, you're doing something called fornicating, according to God's Word. Amen. Well, Kevin, here's my opinion. Bible says it's a sin. Your opinion doesn't matter. Matthew chapter 15, verse 19, Jesus commands you not to do it. You say, well, Kevin, Jesus loves me. Well, yeah, of course He does. I'm not saying He doesn't. That's not the issue. The issue is not, does Jesus love you? The issue is, do you love Him? Because Jesus said, John chapter 14, verse 15, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And I might as well go ahead and make everybody mad today. Girls, what about the skimpy clothes you wear to church in the summertime? People seeing Jesus in you? Or are they just seeing parts of you that only your husband should see when you get married someday? You say, Kevin, you're being legalistic. I'm being real. Amen. Do you realize the effect that those clothes have on guys in this church? Amen. Including this guy, because I'm a guy and I still have eyes. Romans chapter 14, verse 21. You are causing your brother to stumble. You say, well, Kevin, guys shouldn't be looking at me. Oh, that's why you wear it, so they won't look at you? I don't know why you call them yoga pants, because you wear them to everywhere but yoga. I preached at a church in Wisconsin a couple years ago. Girls came to church dressed like they were taking booty pics that day. Your body is a temple. It is not an observatory. I was at a Bible camp in North Dakota years ago. A 12-year-old girl shows up. She has a t-shirt on with 2 big arrows. The first arrow was pointing to this up here, and it said, work in progress. And another arrow pointing to that down there, and it said, good to go. And this girl was a Christian. Let me ask you something. If they won't let you wear it to work, if you can't wear it to school, why in the world do you think it's okay to wear it to church? Amen. This ain't yoga class. This ain't a gym. This ain't the beach. This is the house of God. Amen. And I'm not just talking about Fox River. I'm talking every church. Where's the decency and the modesty? People seeing Jesus in you, or are they only seeing parts of you that they shouldn't see? Proof of salvation is assurance of salvation. Next slide. And I know somebody's hearing this. You say, well, Kevin, nobody can be for sure of whether they're going to heaven or not. And when they die, are you kidding me? You can know. God wants us to know. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. These things are written that you might know that you have eternal life. Not cross your fingers, guess so, hope so, know so. And how do we know? Romans chapter 8, verse 16. The internal witness of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit testifies to your spirit that you are a child of God. Not might be, could be, hope to be. You are. And I know somebody's hearing this sermon. You say, well, Kevin, I'm afraid I've lost my salvation. No, you haven't. Because if you still want it, you ain't lost it. There are so many things about my life that I don't know and that I can't be sure about. I don't know if Donald Trump's ever going to be president again. I don't know if I'm ever going to vote in another election that isn't rigged. I don't know if I'm ever going to get back in a size 32 pants. I don't know how or when or where I'm going to die, but I do know where I'm going when I do die. I am going home to heaven some sweet day. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. And how do I know that? 1 John chapter 3, verse 24, I know it by the Holy Spirit that He has given me. Assurance of salvation, proof of salvation is joy over our salvation. Or have we forgotten about that part of it? I got saved in 1984, graduated college in 1985, worked for 5 years to make some money, pay off my college loans, and in 1990, God called me to go to seminary, Trinity Evangelical Divinity School and E. Free Seminary up in Deerfield. And in case anybody doesn't know, graduate school is an absolute meat grinder, including seminary. And the classes were so expensive, the goal was to take as many classes as you possibly could while working as many jobs and hours as you possibly could to pay for them at the same time so you could get your MDiv and get out of there as soon as possible. So 1992, I was taking 18 hours of classes a week, studying in the library every night till they closed at midnight, working 4 part-time jobs on the side, and still trying to do something with Sue because we were dating at the time. So zombie tired, you ain't never seen the like. I was so tired, one night I actually fell asleep standing up, running a floor scrubber in a grocery store. So needless to say, sleep was in short supply. 1992, my routine, Monday through Thursday, I went full bore up at seminary. Studying every night until midnight, the library closed, 6 a.m. to midnight. Thursday night, I'd go back to the dorm, try to get some sleep, wake up early so I could drive 294 back home to Watseka. The nanosecond I get to my parents' house, I'd go to work at Eagle Grocery Store till they closed at 10 o'clock that night. Then I'd go back to my parents' house and study. Get up the next morning, work all day again at Eagle Grocery Store, try to do something with Sue at night, and then go back to my parents' house and study. Sunday morning, I never went to church because I was too busy. Study all day, go to bed early Sunday night, wake up at 3 o'clock on Monday morning so I could get back to seminary at 6 a.m. The nanosecond I get back to seminary at 6 a.m., start working at the food service, and the treadmill started all over again. The only chance I had for any kind of real sleep at all was Thursday night up there at seminary in my dorm room. But then March of 1992, another seminary student named George, who lived in the room right above mine, started having worship nights every Thursday night after he got back from work at midnight. So I'm trying to sleep, so tired I could cry, while that guy played the guitar and all the other guys raised the roof praising the Lord. And I lay there fuming because I got to get up at 4 a.m. before 294 turns into a parking lot and I'm late to work at the grocery store. And I'd pray, God, please shut him up. Please shut him up, or at least let him take it somewhere else. So one Thursday night, I'm laying in bed doing a slow burn because the music is bouncing off the walls. And God started speaking to my heart. He said, do you hear that? I said, yeah, every Thursday night. God said, you know who that is? And I said, yeah, it's the same person it always is. And God said, that George, he never got to make as much money before he started school as you did he? And I said, no, he didn't, because I knew him and I talked to him. He said, and he has to work even more hours than you do, doesn't he, to get his way through school? And I said, yeah, he does. God said, and because of that, he doesn't get to study as much for his classes as you do, does he? And I said, no, he doesn't. God said, because of that, he doesn't get as good a grade as you do, does he? And I said, that's his problem. God said, his car is even worse shape than yours to get back and forth, isn't it? I said, yeah, it is. It's a bomb. And God said, and yet every Thursday night, as tired as he is, he comes back to this dorm and not only worships me, but gets all the other guys in this dorm to worship me too. And I said, yeah, I know. It keeps me awake every Thursday night. Then God said this, when's the last time you ever worshiped me for anything? And I had no answer. And then God said something to me that I will never forget as long as I live. He said, that little man upstairs loves me with all of his heart, and you don't. And you make me sick. How many of you all realize it is very possible to obey God and do everything God tells you to do for Him without ever being thankful, without ever praising or worshiping Him for the things that He's done for you? You talk about getting your priorities straight. Jesus said, Mark chapter 12, verse 30, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. This is the first and greatest commandment. So it's not about us. It's not about what God has called us to do for Him. It's only about Him. Amen. So Lord, restore unto us, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Because God not only saves us in the past, Jesus also saves us right now, right here and now in the present, and especially from ourselves. The second reason why salvation is real is because it's proved by something that happens in the present. We go on in this text, we see a third thing. A third reason why salvation is real. Not only because it's based on something in the past, not only because it's proved by something in the present, but third, because it trusts in something that's going to happen in the future. Salvation has three aspects. Jesus saves us from sin in the past, He saves us from sin right now, and Jesus is going to save us also from sin in the future. Amen. And Christians, listen to me. We better be trusting. Because these are really dark days, people. Evil and corruption like you and I have never seen before in our entire lives. Last week, the FDA officially approved remdesivir as a treatment for COVID. Even though remdesivir kills COVID patients by destroying their liver and their kidneys. Nurses even call it when death is near. And why did the FDA approve remdesivir that kills COVID patients? Because remdesivir that kills COVID patients costs $600 for 100 milligrams. While ivermectin that cures COVID patients is only about $1 a pill. Follow the stinking money. Last week, judges on the Illinois State Supreme Court that Governor J.B. Pritzker donated gazillions of his own dollars to get elected. Those judges officially ruled that Governor J.B. Pritzker's Safety Act is constitutional, even though every state's attorney in every county in Illinois except two was against it. So what that means, folks, this coming September the 18th, lock and load, because no cash bail and the thugs have free rein. And J.B. Pritzker doesn't care because he wants to show the America how woke he is because he wants to be president someday and your safety and my safety be damned. Last Sunday, DOJ prosecutor Jack the Ripper Smith told Donald Trump he's going to be indicted for inciting a riot on January the 6th. Another bogus indictment. Does anybody else see demons in that guy or is it just me? Folks, this cabal that hates freedom and hates this country and hates you and me will do absolutely anything they possibly can to destroy their political opposition, to destroy the constitutional republic, to destroy the rule of law, just to hang on to power. Amen. This is how great nations die. Tyranny, we're seeing it right in front of our own eyes. And half the people in this country absolutely love it. The left is having a collective cow about the movie The Sound of Freedom. That exposes child sex trafficking. Rolling Stone magazine said this. A superhero movie for dads with brain worms. Washington Post said fictional claptrap for conspiracy-addled baby boomers because trafficking of children for sex does not happen. Jezebel website said this. Anti-trafficking fantasy for QAnon. You know why the left hates that movie so much? Because the left is crawling with groomers and recruiters and pedophiles and child sex traffickers. Still haven't released the names of all the people on the flight list for Epstein Island, have they? LGBTQ, the NAE, National Education Association, LGBTQ, Queer Caucus. Yes, there is such a thing. Is now asking first kindergarten kids what their pronouns are. Now telling first graders that they can change their gender. Is now getting third graders to play with sex toys. And with books like Gender Queer is now telling fourth graders all the how-tos about gay, oral, and anal sex. People, this is evil. These people have no soul. They don't know the Lord. They're not saved. A lot of them have to be demon-possessed and they are turned loose on our kids. These are dark days, people. So keep trusting and keep hoping. Because do you realize how rare it is that anybody trusts and hopes in anything today? Depression and suicide rate in America right now, going through the roof. 30% of guys in America say they're severely depressed. 60% of girls in America today say they are severely depressed. One out of three teenage girls is thinking about suicide. One out of three. This is the worst mental health crisis in the history of our country. Here's two of the hottest glam power couples in Hollywood today. Rapper Machine Gun Kelly, his squeeze Megan Fox, Courtney Kardashian, and Travis Barkley. with all the looks, the popularity, the likes and the follows, the money, the mansions, the cars, the cribs, to who wouldn't have it? Everything the world says that you need to be happy. Let me ask you, do those people look happy to you? You know why? Because they're empty and depressed and dead as a doornail inside. Because they don't have Christ. Here's Juanita Haynes. Juanita, stand up. You know why Juanita Haynes isn't depressed? You know why she's not trying to kill herself and committing suicide? You know why she's not empty and meaningless and dead as a doornail inside? You know why she's not cutting herself? You know why she's not puking up everything she eats? You know why she's not pulling up her shirt and pulling down her pants like all the other 15-year-old girls on Instagram who are desperate and dying for somebody to notice them and pay attention to them? Because she does have Christ. Who did what for her? Verse 20. Who loved her and gave himself for her. She is so valuable. Stay standing. She is so precious. She is worth so much. Jesus Christ himself, the Son of God, came all the way down from heaven, left his glory behind to come down here, took on piddly human form, and went through hell on a cross for her. He did that for her. She is loved by God, and she is valuable to God. That's her identity. That is her value. She's also incredibly gorgeous. Do you know how many incredibly gorgeous 15-year-old girls there are in America? Gazillions of them. That's not what makes her special. What makes her special is not what's on the outside. It's what's on the inside. And exactly the same thing is true for everybody else in here. And she's not empty and meaningless because God has given her a purpose. God has called her to influence people for Jesus Christ. So you go, girl. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Last March the 27th, 28-year-old Audrey Hale shot and murdered six Christians at the Covenant Presbyterian School and church grounds, Nashville, Tennessee, including 3 9-year-old girls. Audrey Hale identified as trans. She wanted to be a man. Went to that school years before, hated that school for what they taught her about life and about God and about the Bible. Hated God, hated the pastor of that church and school, Pastor Chad Scruggs, because one of the girls that she purposely killed, one of the little 9-year-olds, was the pastor's daughter, Haley Scruggs. You talk about evil. You talk about a monster. You talk about putting families through hell, especially the parents of those three little girls. But you know what? After all the autopsies and all the investigations were over with, the parents of those three little girls got together with their own money, and they paid for Audrey Hale's funeral. So her parents did not have to spend one penny putting her in the ground. That black-hearted freak who shot those little girls point blank in the face with an automatic rifle, murdered them in cold blood, their parents got together and paid for her funeral. And they'll know we are Christians by our love. You talk about a powerful witness to the world. You talk about trusting and hoping that God's going to do something good in the future. Don't tell me that salvation in Jesus Christ isn't real. Trusting that God is going to save us from what's coming in the future. And how do we know that's all going to happen? Genesis chapter 1 verse 14 says God created the lights in the sky to mark days and years and times and seasons. Seasons, special times appointed by God when He will do incredible things. Luke chapter 21, verse 25, Jesus said in the last days, there will be signs in the heavens above and the sun, the moon and the stars. Signs that God will use to tell us exactly what's going to happen and what He's going to do in the last days. And folks, that's exactly what God has been doing for the last 6 years with the sun, the moon and the stars and eclipses. August 21st, 2000, previous picture. August 21st, 2017. The Great American Eclipse made worldwide headlines because it was the first eclipse since 1918 to cross across the entire United States from the northwest to the southeast, from Oregon to South Carolina, so that everybody could see it. This coming April the 8th, 2024, there's going to be another Great American Eclipse. Another total solar eclipse that's going to cross across the United States again so everybody can see it. That one from the northeast to the southwest. And unlike all other eclipses ever before throughout the history of the world, these two are unique because when you put the two eclipse paths together, they make a giant X across the heart of the United States. Think maybe God's trying to tell us something? Now get this. August 21st, 2017. August 21st was the start of the Jewish month of Elul, the start of an annual 40 days of repentance leading up to Yom Kippur, the Day of Jewish Atonement. And together with that April 8, 2024 eclipse, they make a giant X all across the United States. X in the Bible is the symbol for the Antichrist, which means Antichrist is coming. The Great Tribulation is coming, when God's going to pour out holy hell judgment on this world for rejecting Jesus Christ. And notice, where do those two earthquake lines, where do those two eclipse lines intersect each other? Right around southern Illinois and parts of Missouri and Kentucky, right over the heart of an earthquake line called the New Madrid Fault. In 1811, there was a huge earthquake so powerful out of the New Madrid Fault, it actually reversed the direction of the Mississippi River for a while. And get this, scientists say in the future there's going to be another earthquake coming out of the New Madrid Fault. So ginormous, it is not only going to alter the geography of the United States, it will alter the geography of the entire world. Revelation chapter 6, verse 12. What's going to happen during the Great Tribulation? Revelation 6, 12. The mother of all earthquakes. So good night, Irene and Chi Chi Bug people. You do not want to be anywhere near that when that baby hits. You think maybe God's trying to tell us something? Like maybe for the last 6 years, God is giving this time, America time right now to repent and get right with Him. And because America isn't repenting and getting right with Him, the Antichrist is coming. Great Tribulation is coming. Judgment is coming because X marks the spot. Next slide. But here's the good news. That giant X across America in ancient Hebrew, like King David would have used to write with, is the Hebrew letter Tav, the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And Tav is a symbol of the covenant God made with His people, and it's also a symbol of the cross of Christ. And the X is also telling us, X, the last, in the last days, in the midst of the judgment, God's not going to forget the covenant He made with us to save us through the cross of Christ. And how do we know that's true? Because this coming October 14th, 2023, just 3 months from now, there's going to be another eclipse. A partial eclipse that will cross America from Oregon to Texas. And where will that eclipse leave the United States? Get this. In the town of Corpus Christi. That means body of Christ. You don't think Jesus Christ is behind this whole thing? And you put all three of those eclipse paths together, 2017, 2023, 2024. Those three lines, they make the shape of another ancient Hebrew letter, Aleph, the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, where we get our letter A from. Aleph is a sign of Jesus Christ, the one true God, made of three lines for Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And it's also the sign of a new beginning, God making all things new. All right there for America to see. You don't think the Lord's behind this whole thing? And here's where it really gets good. April 8, 2024. April 8th is the first day of the Jewish month of Nisan, 14 days before the start of Passover, when Israelites are supposed to remember how God used the blood of the Lamb to get them an exodus out of Egypt. You look at those first two eclipse lines. Where do they cross? Right over the place in southern Illinois that has been known since the 1800s as Little Egypt. Earth eclipse coming October the 14th. October the 14th falls during the Jewish festival of Sukkot, which remembers how God takes care of His people after the Exodus. October 14th also falls on a Jewish Sabbath, known to the Jews as Parakat Bereshit, that remembers how God brings order out of chaos. And every single one of those three earthquake eclipse lines, all three of them, each one of them passes over exactly seven towns or cities in America that are all named Salem. Salem from the Jewish word shalom, which means peace. Seven, perfect peace of God coming in spite of the judgment. You put all that together, what is it telling us? Those three eclipse patterns are doing what? Are telling us that right now we're in a 6 or 7 year period before the last 7 years starts, when we're supposed to repent and get right with God, because the Antichrist is coming, the Great Tribulation is coming, and judgment is coming. But the good news is the Aleph and the Tav. If we turn to Aleph, the one true God, Jesus Christ, and the Tav, the covenant that He made with us, to save us through Jesus Christ and the cross and the blood of the Lamb, God will save us out of that judgment by giving us a second exodus out of modern Egypt. He's talking about the rapture. You say, Kevin, so you're saying the rapture is going to happen this coming April the 8th, 2024. Absolutely not, because nobody knows the day or the hour. But I do know this. We are this close. This close. People in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, in the twinkling of an eye, we're going home on a cloud. And how do we know all that's true? Next frame. The Aleph and the Tav. The Aleph and the Tav. Jesus said, Revelation chapter 22, verse 13, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning of the end. And the reason the Holy Spirit interpreted that Alpha and Omega, the first and last letters of the Greek New Testament, of the Greek alphabet, is so his non-Jewish readers would understand what he was saying. Because what Jesus would have really said is, I am the Aleph and the Tav, the first and the last, the beginning of the end. Aleph and Tav, first and last letters of the Hebrew alphabet. So folks, don't tell me it's not real. Don't tell me it's not going to happen. Don't tell me it's not coming. Because it's not only written in the Word, it's also written in the sky for everybody to see. Jesus Christ in the cross, the Aleph and the Tav. That is God's own signature in Jesus' own handwriting. Jesus signing off on the whole thing. There's only two kinds of people sitting in this church right now. Christians and non-Christians. Those who know Christ and those who don't. And if you don't, you need to. And you better hurry. Because the end of all things is near, people. We are living in it. We are standing in it. And if you're not saved, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you're going to get swept away and you're going to be lost forever. Today, the nanosecond this service is over with, you get up out of your seat, you come to the front of this church and you pray with somebody and you pray to receive Christ. You confess your sins to God. You put your faith in the blood that Jesus shed on the cross and ask Him to come into your heart and be your Savior. Get up out of your seat like so many people have over the years here at Fox River. Don't be lost. I give a call to salvation, an altar call, after almost every single one of my messages. There's going to come a day I'm not going to be here. And you're not going to get one because I'm going to be home. You come to Christ before it happens. There's Christians in this room right now. Listen to me. Don't you dare let anybody tell you that you're not saved. You're not mentally ill. You're not cray-cray. You're not tripping on a drug. Something real happened to you. Jesus happened to you. There's not something wrong with you. There's something right with you. You are born again by the power of the Holy Spirit and the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Blessed assurance, Jesus is yours. But let me ask you, are you close to Him right now? Are you walking with Him right now? Are people really seeing Jesus in your life? You know what? Maybe you need to get out of your seat after the service is over with and come to the front and rededicate your life to Christ. Some of you have got sin in your life right now that you've been struggling with for years. Today is the day to start being free of that. This is the place. Now is the time. Maybe you need that joy of salvation restored to you. Maybe you don't have that assurance of salvation. You don't know. Maybe you've got a question. You get up out of your seat and come to the front of this church. We got to get back to Jesus. Because when push comes to shove and you boil it down to gravy, it's all about Him. It's all about Him. It's not about you. It's not about building your brand. It's not about your reputation. It's not about all your likes and follows. It's not about your grades. It's about Him. We were crucified with Christ and we no longer live. But Christ lives in us. Let's come back to Jesus.